right, man. It's the Rolling Stones, isn't it? Well, you joined in with that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Right, okay, it's 8 minutes after 12. We have Lunchtime Social on the way. We've got Ray Harrington Vale. Nice to have you back. How are you, Ray?
I'm very well, thank you. Enjoying the lovely blue sky and not too cold. No,
it's
lovely.
It's great this time. Normally this time is a bit depressing, but
yeah,
it's been all right.
Yes, it's my birthday month. Always a depressing month where, you know, it's grey and miserable and nothing's happening. And actually, it's not been so bad this year. We've had a couple of little cold bits, but, you know, it's been beautiful the last couple of days.
So when is your birthday? Just so people can
Yeah, I expect a case of Isle of Wight gin or something. But yes, on the 20th of January. Yeah,
other gins are available.
Yes, oh yeah, any gin will do. Yeah.
Any gin.
Yeah, we're not fussed.
Right, okay. That's not the reason why we got you in to talk about gins. Although I would imagine we could do 10 minutes on it.
Yeah, probably could have a go. Yeah. try 4 or 6. Yeah.
You're busy this week.
Yeah, it's a big energy saving week. It's a national week where the Citizen Advice and other charities around the country are promoting energy efficiency and particularly the benefits of at least talking to your energy supplier and making sure you're on the best deal and indeed switching to a better deal. Lots of people on the island have never switched, very loyal to Southern Electric. Only about, I think last year, about 18% of people switch, so very low amounts of people, which means according to Ofgem they could be spending £300 a year more on their energy than they actually need to.
Okay, so it's always good to sort of obviously check out you know, your details, but is that where you come in a bit more? Because let's be honest, whenever you want to cancel anything or move somewhere or whatever, someone will tell you this, somebody else will tell you that. They make it so blooming difficult to understand it anyway. So who does understand it?
Well, I think for people who can go online, relatively easy, because if you've got your energy bill in front of you, or either have a paper copy or have an electronic copy on your computer, you can see how much you've used in the last year. You can go on a price comparison site such as U-Switch, there's other ones out there as well, and you can then, it works it out for you. There's an Ofgem computer that online will actually tell you what's the best deal, and that's relatively easy. And all you then hit the button, your new energy company takes over, they tell the old one, and it's all sort of done automatically. It's one of the easy things. Ringing up can be a little bit more difficult. You can do your own research, and when you ring up and want to leave your energy company, I think, you know, just like with the phone, some of them might persuade you to try and stay, but in fact you can just ring up the new one you want and they'll do all that for you as well.
Do you know what's really, really weird in all of this? I listen to you talk about that, and I want to ask you a question in a minute. What happens? What do you do? Talk us through what you do. But first of all, I just want to say, it's the same electric coming through, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you just think, well, I know that there's competition and so on and so forth, but if it's the same electric, why is there all these different companies that, you know, are making it cheaper? Surely it would make it a hell of a lot easier for all of us. Or does it, you know, because there's different companies, they're all fighting each other for prices. But it's the same electric. You're paying the same electric for it.
Well, when we just always to get it from the government, I mean, it was in real terms twice the price that it is now, because there was no benefit to the government for selling energy cheaper. They would sell it for the price that they felt was fair. The energy companies obviously have to make a profit. They don't make much out of the domestic market. Most of their money is made selling it to industry and commerce, but they are there to try and get the custom. So some of the smaller companies particularly that don't run power stations, they will buy the energy in advance, get a very good price, and then resell it to me and you. And we're there in the marketplace. I guess it's just like buying a well-known brand of baked beans. It's the same baked beans, but now and again one of the supermarkets will have it on special offer. I know the thing we buy at home, which is often varies in price greatly, is laundry powder, and we buy a particular brand, and it often is, you know, on special offer in different supermarkets, and we'll buy it in the one that's on. So in a sense it's no different to what we do, many of us, when we're shopping around. Very few of us now probably are loyal to one supermarket. We probably hedge our bets a little bit, and if someone puts on Facebook that certain products, you know, special offer somewhere, we all run round to get it. So yeah, it has helped reduce energy costs for vast majority of people. And I would take on board, though, that in the early days of switching and changing, lots of things went wrong. Generally speaking, I have to say, Footprint Trust helps hundreds of people a year switch, and virtually nothing goes wrong. It's all fairly plain sailing.
Okay. So what does Ray do?
What I do, I switch every year. So I'm one of these people who, I love a bargain. So I look at my insurance every year. I look at the energy bills. And I use U-Switch. Let's say there's other ones out there. I just find that one the easy one to use. And I switch every year. There isn't a good energy company. They change all the time. I think the year before last, I was with Scottish Power. Now I'm with N-Power. And in the summer, my deal comes to an end and I shall be looking again. And I keep ahead of the game, because what you're doing by switching, if you just left it as it was, your deal would come to an end. You'd go on the standard tariff, which is often 100 quid a year more. By switching, I'm keeping ahead of the game. So, you know, I'm saving myself potentially around 70, 100 quid more than I would pay if I went on the worst deal.
Okay. The phone's ringing. Do you want to take a call?
Yeah.
I'm hoping it's for this. Hi, who's this?
Can I throw an electrical spanner in your works?
Go on, it's an electrician who's going to throw an electrical spanner in the works.
Oh, jolly good.
Go on.
Right, all this business, shopping around, changing, doing this, doing that, right, it all comes down to one thing. You've got to have a direct debit.
No, you haven't. It was actually, even with card and key meters, if you put that onto U-Switch, you can actually find a better deal even for smart. The one that wouldn't make a lot of difference if you're paying cash, but certainly if you're paying with a card over the counter, which you can get these payment cards, or if you've got a card or a key meter, you can then get a better deal. So it's okay, not just direct debit.
So forget the card and key meter.
Mm.
Forget that. Ordinary household meter, like me, got a meter on the wall. If I want to change, I'm obliged to have it by direct debit.
No, you can still have paper billing if you wish. If you want to
not
still...
Not according to the people that you speak to. Anyway, the reason for saying this is, people that are self-employed like myself don't have a guaranteed income for any particular week of the year. Some weeks you might be in credit, some weeks you might be in debit. It's the same with council tax. They all want to take it out on the same day, every day of the time it comes out. So whichever day of the month it's due out, it comes out on that day. If you haven't got sufficient funds in your account to have it taken out of, you then have to pay money for it because you've gone overdrawn in the bank. What you then pay back, more often than not, will actually wipe out any saving you make from switching around.
Well, one thing I would say, I would look at, I'm not an expert on banking, but I change my bank as well now and again. Different banks have different arrangements. Some that you can actually move your direct debits around, and that would be certainly something to look at. And
well,
also,
it's the direct debit is the problem.
Yeah, but you can move the date of your direct debit. It's you that's in charge of that. So,
it's not. If you speak to the council, it's not.
Well, I'm not talking. I don't work for the council.
No,
I'm talking about energy
is,
companies, so I can't comment on the council.
With direct debits, they're nearly always targeted to come out on the same day, whichever month it is.
And come
hell or high water, you don't get round that. The only way you get round that is by saying, well, I'm not paying by direct debit. Send me a bill and I'll pay it.
Well, what I always say to people who are going to pay by direct debit is that a lot of people are paid on the last day of the month, or most of their money comes in towards the end of the month. Don't pay it on the 31st or the 1st, but pay it on about the 5th, because by then everything should have come through. But you're in charge of your money, so you know when it comes in. I can't talk about that. All I would say is I can't comment on the council. What I do know is I move the dates of my direct debits all the time according to what's happening, and you're in charge of those. So if you say to the bank, I want that to go out on the 5th of the month or the 10th, whatever's best for you, you can do that. And certainly when it comes to paying, if you want to pay cash when your bill comes in, which is what you're saying, you can still switch and you can still find a better deal by paying there. And if you go on U-Switch, now what I will say is there's lots of comparison sites out there, not all are regulated, and U-Switch is one of those, which is why I'm just referring to that one, not the other 10 or whatever. But on there, I know, because I use it all the time, that you can actually put paper bills. I certainly was a couple of weeks ago when I went on it. So you could probably find a better deal, but you as you're probably aware, the paper cash paying way is the most expensive, and that's the one where you will finish up paying a bit more, but you might find a better deal out there.
Yeah, so basically, what we're looking at is you've got to not only trawl around to find a better deal. In my case, you've got to trawl around to find somebody who will do it.
You haven't got to do any trawling. You haven't got to do any trawling, because if you go on Uswitch, you just put in how much you use.
Yeah,
and you want to pay
back. That means going on the computer.
It does. This is the most. You can also ring up Uswitch. You can ring up and they can do it over the phone. So it is possible. We have lots of people on the Isle of Wight, including members of my family who don't live on the Isle of Wight, don't have bank accounts, and they do all pay everything in cash, and they do manage. My mum, until a few years ago, well, now I pay her bills, but she was paying cash, and I found her a better deal so that she could walk down the high street with £500 in London paying all her bills cash. But it is the modern way, you know, and we do, you know, paying cash is the most expensive for business as well. It is.
You see, the trouble is, right, I just come in from my position there, but I work for an awful lot of elderly people across the island.
Mm.
And I would say that 2/3 of the elderly people I work for across the island do not have a computer.
No, they don't.
They've probably got the same electricity company and gas that they've always had.
You're completely correct, that's exactly true.
They're frightened to do anything else, because there's so many horror stories that come out about people changing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, as Ian was saying just now, right, the whole thing is, what a fiasco.
Well, it's a bit like saying we should only have one builder and one mechanic. You shop around and you find the company's best. The horror stories are ancient stories, and we shouldn't be spreading misinformation. Yes, people are staying with their traditional supplier, but what we actually say to people, because we help 1,000 people with their energy bills a year, so we're the experts in this. We have won national awards for our work in helping people in poverty. We go to see them and we say, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put it all with one energy company, as you love British Gas and SSE. Let's put it all with British Gas, because SSE is the most expensive supplier on the island generally, because they're the traditional supplier. That's what happens. So we'll put it all with British Gas. You can have just one bill with them. We'll find you the best deal they've got according to how you want to pay. And there are quite a lot of older people that do have bank accounts. I mean, they're not all using cash. I'm sure there's many listening now who will say, I'm 82 and I do use the internet.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't listen to horror stories, because horror stories can lead to people being fearful of crime when there's very low crime. And we also need to say, in the modern age, I do this all the time, I don't know of many horror stories. What I know is misinformation in tabloid newspapers, where certain newspapers love to print stories which are only half true. And if we want to help older people and people on low income, then certainly encouraging them to put it all with one energy company, even if they want to pay cash, and finding the best deal is a good thing to do. Don't pay the highest amount. If you knew that you could get the spare parts for your business in a cheaper business, you'd probably go there. You wouldn't go to the most expensive one. And that's the same thing we all do.
No. You go for the one that gives you the best service.
Well, or the best quality. But
You don't go and buy stuff from.
No, I didn't say. Well, no. Well, I'm sure they do some good stuff, because they sell some good tools. But the point is, if Heinz baked beans, we use a brand as an example, was cheaper in one supermarket than the other, we probably would go there if it was a good deal. The same with if it was Persil or whatever. And it's exactly the same with this. People shop around. It is the same energy that's coming out of the thing, and the same way, you know, I guess if we buy a bit of wood, it's pretty much the same. But the point is, you can save money. But I do. What you've said is true. We come across this all the time. A lot of people do want to pay cash for all the reasons you said, but you can still get a better deal. The most important thing, though, which we would also say, is about using, you know, learning how to use your energy system properly. And we go around houses where people don't know how to use their boiler properly.
Don't mention smart meters to an electrician.
Well, I know lots of electricians that do want them. I'm not talking about using smart meters. I'm talking about learning how to use your energy system effectively, learning how to use your electrical appliances, you know, pulling the thick curtains in the evening and saving energy. And we do that a lot.
That's a little bit like teaching your grandmother to suck eggs, in all fairness to yourself there. I mean, most people know that if you leave a door open, there's going to be a draft, and if you leave a curtain open, there's going to be a draft.
Well, I was only in a home. Well, I disagree with you. I was in a home yesterday, and certainly they wouldn't leave a door open, but they have a drafty door, and all we have to say is, if you realise you put a bolt on that door, that will push it home. And people with double glazing often believe in the myth that they don't let any heat out. They do. And on a regular basis, we go around homes and say, get thermal blinds, get thick curtains. So you are presuming that your knowledge is the same as everyone else's. I have to say, in my job, I come across homes where people have no idea of the cost of heating. They have the heating on at 24 degrees. They're sat there in their summer clothes, and we have to go in and say, well, the reason your heating's so high is you do need to wear a jumper and you do need to turn it down to 18 degrees. So this is what we do. Not relevant to you, so you don't need to, we don't need to talk about this anymore, I feel, because there are other people out there who, in my experience of doing this job for 15 years, don't have this basic information, but hopefully you share it with them, because if we tell people, they're listening in now and they're going, oh yeah, I've not thought of putting, you know, some tape around my window, and not thought of putting a thick curtain in front of the door. A lot of young people haven't had that experience of life that you have. I dare say you're getting near the age of Ian and I, where you've got a bit of old knowledge under your barnet.
Well,
yeah?
you try and pass it on.
Yeah.
You try and pass it on as much as you can.
Yeah.
But obviously, there's a lot of, particularly with stuff that gets built these days, you look at it and you think, how long is that going to last? Mm. And it's value for money. If you don't get value for money out of something, then you're not going to trust it.
No, exactly, and this is why we always say when someone's replacing their boiler, go with a good make of boiler, not a cheap one, because it might save you £500, but it's worth paying the extra £500 for a good boiler.
And will it last more than 7 years?
Well, they're guaranteed for 10 years, many of the Worcester Boshes now, as long as you have it serviced every year, and that's the other thing, people don't service and they don't last so long, so we're all for get it serviced, have it looked after, build a relationship with your local gas fitter, and, you know, my Valiant boiler is going after 11 years because it's a good make and I look after it.
My laugh is 7.
Yeah, there you go. There we are. Well, if you got one now, well, 7's pretty good considering most things are only guaranteed for 18 months, aren't they, these days, or 2 years maximum.
It's exactly that, but yeah. I do laugh when they say 10 years because I think myself, by the end of 7 years, and there's only two of us, it's not on a lot of times, but it was actually a heat exchanger went on it, and that's that. Once all of that's gone on it, you might as well buy a new boiler.
Yeah, there are bits, depends on the make, but generally speaking now, when you buy a new boiler, this is something to look for when you are shopping around. Many of the companies now give a 10-year warranty, providing you service it every year. So that is better than anything else I ever buy, because anything else I buy, if I'm lucky, if I get a 1 or 2 year guarantee. But it is important after your boiler gets to about 15 years old, probably a bit inefficient now. So
You're lucky to get a month on some of the stuff you see in the shops.
Oh, yeah. Some of it is absolute rubbish. Lovely. Well, thanks for your call, mate. All the best.
You take care of yourself.
You too,
I'll
mate.
I'll be listening.
Thanks, Arthur.
Thank you. Bye, Arthur.
Bye. I kind of got the gist there from Arthur. And he was saying about the bills and so on and so forth. And
yeah.
What I like about this conversation now is that you're going to be giving advice to people, and you are going to be meeting people that are going to be sharing kind of similar concerns. So it's a bit of a warm-up. Arthur's giving you a bit of a warm-up there. I remember we doing the U-Switch thing about 6 months ago, and there were various different things, and my wife shouted down the stairs, oh, this one, they want money up front.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. And you think, well, what do you mean money up front?
Yeah,
you know, that's,
I've heard about your credit reference. That's how that came up, probably. It could have been that.
That's right.
There's different schemes, and you know, some of them, if you're a new customer, will want you to pay the first month up front. And what you sometimes get, you even get interest on the money that you've paid if you've paid too much. Again, it's a bit like buying anything. Every company has its own rules about buying stuff. So when you're out there in the marketplace, this is what you do. I generally, when I do my switching, I will look at the top five, and I've got inside, I guess, information. I know some companies have not got very good customer care, so I go down the list to maybe number four or five, find a company I know, so I don't switch with the cheapest of the cheapest, but I maybe go with number four or five. I want good customer care. I mean, he's completely right. You don't want to go with one where when you ring up, you're on the phone for an hour.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, I ring up a lot of energy companies, so I get to know the ones which take a bit of time. I also look on the CAB, Citizen Advice website, and which magazine to see, you know, what the customer care is like. And then you make that choice in the same way as if you were buying a car or anything else. You do a bit of research. But the biggest thing is saving money, and if it means paying a bit up front and then you save yourself £50 a year, then you might decide, yeah, go for it.
So it is one of those things that you can't, because what we're trying to do is, and I know that people said Can he get Ryan? Because he's going to be talking to a lot of elderly peeps and so on and so forth. And, you know, that's the sort of questions that we need asking. And they need to feel safe in the knowledge that, hey, look, it's not a scam. It is a case of some of these companies will ask for a payment up front.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not all, but some.
Well, not too much.
What would be your advice to that then?
Well, providing you're using a proper switching site, and I think this is the point, don't buy it on the doorstep. I was talking to my colleagues at Citizens Advice today, and we've had a scam on the island where someone is knocking on doors trying to get people to switch. We would all say, trading standards as well, do not buy anything on the doorstep and do not buy anything where someone cold calls over the phone.
Right.
You know, you be in charge of this when you're doing it. Get a family member, maybe a grandson, maybe a nephew, maybe one of your kids to ring up with you or go online for you and make certain that it's through a proper switching site. Then you're going to get an unbiased view. You'll be told the best one to go with, and then you can make a decision whether or not. If you don't want to go through all that, we have another position, which is sort of what Martin Lewis goes on about on his programme, and that is just ring up the energy company you're with and say, am I on the best deal? They are duty-bound to give you the best deal. And if you're with two energy companies, make life easy for yourself. Go with one, stick it all in one thing, and get the best deal from them. And that way, you know, you don't have to go through all the switching process. Everybody's different. We heard about, you know, people who want to pay cash. Fine. If you want to pay cash, we would have to say various concerns about that. We don't think it's a good idea to walk around with loads of money in your wallet or in your purse and pay your bills cash. If you want to do that, though, that's fine. But there are other ways you can pay. And one thing the energy companies have done recently, if you want to pay cash, they give you a card, which is in your name. And when you get the cash out of the post office for your pension, you can at the same time pay off your energy bill monthly with that card on a minimum of $5 a month or whatever.
Are they making it easier? And more importantly, just say, for instance, if you're like Arthur, I kind of got the feeling that a little bit like me, I don't want to pay for it up front. And I don't want to, in a year's time, say to the, you know, phone up and say, hey, look, I've paid... Apparently, I'm £90 in credit.
Yeah,
and you've had that in your bank account, making you loads of interest. Yeah,
well, they have to pay the money back at the end of a year if you have overpaid. They work out your monthly payments. Works out on what you've told them you've used in the last year.
Right.
So when you go on Uswitch or other sites, they say, how much have you used? You got your bill there. You say, yeah, I've used X number of kilowatts, or I've paid this. They then work out, well, you're probably going to use the same next year. So they then work out how much. Very few people have to pay up front. I don't know about that one. Generally, you pay by monthly direct debit, and then if during the year you've fallen behind a bit, they advise you and say, do you want to increase it? You say yes or no. At the end of the year, if you have overpaid, they give you that money back. So you still are going to be better off. But the good thing of doing regular meter readings...
Is that a definite that they do? All companies do that?
Pretty much. They all have to now pay that back. They've either made a decision to or they've been told to.
Right.
But one of the things that people must do, and we come across this quite a lot, where it's a bit boring and some people find it very difficult to do, but regular meter readings means you don't get nasty surprises. If you don't read your meter for 3 months, they will guesstimate. That's all they can do.
Right.
So you're going to finish up either underpaying or overpaying. Now, we've worked with people who have under or overpaid £400 in a year, and that's created problems for them financially. Now, if they were able to take regular meter readings, then that wouldn't happen. Now, there's another problem. Now, our friend a minute ago, all anti-smart meters. What I'd say to him, what about someone who's blind and can't read their meter, or someone who's disabled, can't crawl in the cupboard anymore?
Right.
They can't read their meters. They don't hear the guy when he knocks on the door. They're going to have estimated bills. They're going to under or overpay. With a smart meter, it's read a number of times a day, so you get completely accurate billing. You're not going to get any nasty surprises. And smart meters work. They are modern technology. We've got smart technology. We're using it in this studio today. So smart meters are a way of getting rid of guesstimated bills. And for people on low income and for people with disability, they really are good. And we've helped a couple of blind people get them, and it's changed their lives. They're not worrying about their energy anymore.
Sounds positive, but what are the drawbacks then?
I think the biggest drawback has been initially with them in that switching was a problem. That,
right.
You know, because the government didn't insist, this is just bonkers, that they all use the same smart meter. So they've all put in their own. And that means the other energy companies can't read it. So if, for argument's sake, you've gone with Scottish Power and you think, I have a smart meter, it's save all that messing about, I don't want to keep reading my meter every month, get Scottish Power put it in, then you switch to M-Power because it's a much better deal. M-Power, sorry, we can't read that smart meter. So you have to go back to manual reading, which you can do on your smart meter. You've still got the same thing as you had. And that's like, so what we have to say to people is, well, if we do at the moment put you onto a smart meter, you're going to have to probably stay with that energy company and just get the best deal. But we feel even that is good for someone who's partially sighted or disabled, in that at least we've got rid of the worry of reading the meter. Mm. And as long as we're on the best deal with that energy company. But they're actually going to upgrade these smart meters in the next year so they can switch. But the government never insisted on it, so the energy companies never did it, and that was a major error, really.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, my wife mentioned it, and she said it would be so much easier. Yeah. You know, we're quite sort of tech-savvy and so on, and it would. It would make, we've got something, and I don't know what it was. It was something put through the door. We've got to read something. It's either gas, water, or electric.
Yeah.
And how many times that they come around every few months, don't they, and they want to check, and you think...
Well, it's a very old-fashioned thing. Is it this thing of the guy coming round to read your meter was when in 1938 or whatever, when there was always someone at home who was in. Well, we're all out now, and so the guys just walk up and down the road knocking on doors and leaving cards, and how many people ever fill in the card, you know, and stick it in the window or go online? And so, you know, in a sense,
is that going to make people unemployed though?
Well, they'll be used for other purposes. I mean, there's always new jobs. The whole lot of new jobs have been created in the whole computer stuff, so one job goes, another job comes along. But you know, we a lot of jobs, my grandfather was a fireman on the railway, that job went when they went to electric trains, you know. It's easy. Right. Got a job doing something else, wouldn't he? A wheel tapper or something.
Something else that I picked up on, Arthur, about the bills and stuff and direct debits. Is it something that they are trying to, and they've probably been trying it for years, to implement? They don't want you to pay in the old fashioned way. No. They want your money via direct debit on time and probably in front of your bill.
Well, no, not necessarily, because you're paying the same direct debit. So in the summer you might pay a bit more, and in the winter you might pay a bit less, but. The main reason is that handling cash is mega expensive for all businesses. So everybody that pays by credit card, debit card, direct debit, standing order, just saves money. And all costs in business are passed on to the customer. So every cost there is, if we see a supermarket leaving all its lights on overnight and all its fridges open, we're paying for that. And it's the same.
Oh, you know, you've started something now.
That's right. So
you walk around Newport, it's like Hong Kong, I tell you.
All the doors open in one shop. And we actually made a comment. I won't say what. If you look on our Facebook page, you'll see who it was. But this is the energy wastage, because obviously we don't like it. Nobody likes it. And we, the customer, pay for it. And there was a well-known shop in central Newport with his doors wide open on the coldest day of the year so far. And on their website, it talks about how environmentally friendly they were. And we put a photograph of their open doors on their Twitter feed saying, we think, here's something, it's a tip for you, close your doors, because, you know, if you've got automated doors, they open as soon as you walk up to them. It's not like it's difficult. And if Marks and Spencer's and everyone else can have closing and opening doors, you know, with a little motor, we would like to think all the shops would. But yeah, you know, like the guy said earlier, you wouldn't leave your front door open and talk about saving energy. No, nobody does that apart from certain shops, and
most of them,
high proportion. But it is quite funny, because obviously we're quite keen on energy efficiency, and we think it gives a bad message to children, because if we're trying to teach children about energy saving, and at home their mum's saying shut the door, don't, and then they go in a shop and it's in the middle of winter and the heaters are blowing all the heat out of the doors, it gives a very bad message. And then on their website they're preaching to us about carrier bags, and I'm thinking that's a minor thing compared to leaving your door open, you know. Yeah, there is a few things that wind us all up.
Just going back, just to clarify, the actual, and I take the point on things cost more if you're paying in cash and doing it differently now. I mean, people, I'm guessing that's why, you know, supermarkets say, do you want some cash back with that? Yeah. So they can give you all the cash, so it don't take them so much time to count it and go to a bank and put it in the bank.
I never thought of that. You might well be right there. I mean, anyone who's running a business knows that counting money is just machines that do it now, but it is the way forward. And what we mustn't do, I mean, what's happened with card and key meters, they've been capped, so the unit price of energy has been capped on those. So that's why now they're no longer the worst way of getting electric. The worst way is paying cash. That isn't capped. So the energy companies can charge as much as they like, almost, for people who are paying cash. So we're now encouraging people who do to get the card. So you haven't,
is that fair, though? They're being penalised.
Well, they are a bit, but then one would also, I guess they would argue that, you know, well, the government passes legislation and there's so few people now that pay cash that most of the people on low income are using card and key meters or paying with a card. So it's a very small amount that still pay. And of course, there is a bigger issue here that, you know, which I'm sure the police would also share. We don't really want to encourage people to be marching up and down the high street with 500 notes in their pocket. You know, it's not a good thing to do. And all the people I know, who, when we go to see elderly people with younger relatives, are all saying to them, can you not go out paying cash for this? And what we've said to younger people who are looking after their grandma or whatever is, why don't you pay their bill by direct debit and then they give you the cash? Because that works, and then they'd get a better deal for them as well. So the kids are paying it by direct debit, save grandma £100 a year, and then she, you know, writes them a cheque or whatever, does it for, you know, it that way round.
This looks like something that's going to, over a period of time, there'll be less and less people paying with money.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that the companies, they want you to come on board with a direct debit because it suits them.
Well, I think it's the banks as well. We have all chosen, many of us, to have online bank accounts. We don't go into a branch of a bank very much anymore now, so the branches are closing because nobody's going in there. And we've chosen to do that. No one has forced us in most cases. We've all chosen to buy stuff online. I mean, the council got torn apart because they're buying stuff online. How many people complained are also buying stuff online?
Absolutely.
Well, I buy stuff online because I work full time, my wife does. Occasionally you can't get something and you buy it online. That's the way of the world. And there are those I know that will hark back to the good old days, the 1930s, and when we'll all go back to being paid cash and all this. Not going to happen, is it? So we do sort of have to try and move forward and help those who want to pay cash. But, you know, I don't know what the solution is, but we would say is find a safer way of paying, really.
Okay, look, we're going to take a break.
Please do, yeah.
And then you're going to come back and you're going to tell us where you are this week, where you can get some good advice and so on and so forth. I would imagine these are the sorts of questions, when Arthur came on, these are the sorts of questions that lots of people have issues with, especially if they're of a certain age, like Arthur almost is. Almost.
Yeah, almost.
And also, can you settle an argument in the Mac household?
Yeah, we will do.
That's all to come in the next couple of minutes.
Lovely.
Vectis Radio. 104.6. The heart of the island's community.
Christmas 1943, 3,000 people forced to leave the Devon coast. But why? 5 weeks before the D-Day landings, Eisenhower ordered Exercise Tiger to prepare his troops for battle. But what if you're 12 years old and you arrive on that beach when they do? When it's all going wrong? Author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom, Michelle McGorian says, "This is a wonderful book. It's a jewel," says actress June Brown. The Kid on Slapton Beach. Order it online or from your favourite bookshop now.
As a business, you have a legal responsibility to dispose of your waste in line with current government legislation. Island Environmental Hygiene Limited are an island company specialising in the collection of sanitary, clinical and hazardous waste, working closely with the Environment Agency to ensure your waste is disposed of legally. Our services are tailored to meet your needs. To find out more, visit islandhygiene.com or call 721-943.
Willie's Guitar Shop is a stylish guitar boutique in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. We are a small, friendly, family-owned business and sell quality vintage and pre-owned guitars. Also, accessories, strings, leads and books. In addition, we provide guitar repairs, setups, restrings and guitar lessons. We pride ourselves on our expertise and first-class customer service. You are more than welcome to pop in for a chat. We're situated at number 12 Shooters Hill in Cowes. For more details, visit our Facebook page, Willie's Guitar Shop, or telephone 01983 242680.
Most excellent! Dementia can be a lonely and frightening place, not just for the person diagnosed, but for families too. Families need someone with the expertise, experience and empathy to guide them through the challenges of dementia. Through a growing number of specialist Admiral nurses, Dementia UK is working tirelessly to make sure that every family living with dementia has access to the support they need. To find out more, visit dementiauk.org today. You can also call the Admiral Nurse Dementia Helpline on 0800 888 6678 or email helpline at dementiauk.org. Thank you.
Vertis Radio, FM 104.6, broadcasting from the Riverside Centre in Newport, giving people the opportunity to broadcast no matter their age or ability. We make entertaining radio whilst offering affordable advertising for local businesses. Vertis Radio, vertisradio.com.
The Mid-Morning Show is proudly sponsored by PC Consultants, the island's leading provider of IT service, consultancy and support to businesses, public sector and private clients across the island. Call us at PC Consultants on 01983 811 711 to find out more about our award-winning service.
It's 14 minutes away from 1 o'clock, and we've got Ray Harrington vowing. Can you set an argument in the Mac household?
Well, right, we'll have a go.
Okay, I walk into a bedroom and turn on the light, do what I've got to do. That sounds dodgy, doesn't it? In the bedroom. I come out 5 minutes later, okay, and I leave the light on because I know I'm going back in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, and my wife will say, turn the light off. And I said, well, I'm going back in there in about another 5 minutes. And she said, well, turn the light off and switch it back on when you go. Which should we do?
Well, your wife is right, because she probably knows that you're actually going to be out longer than 5 minutes, because you'll forget and go off and do something else. Because I think a lot of us do. We, you know, I'm like you. I've got a shed. It's got a light in. I go in the shed. I'm messing about in there. I mend something. I then go in the garden. I forget I've left the light on in the shed. I come back. It's still on an hour later. And I should turn the light off, really. What I would say, with modern lighting, when you've got LED lights in particular, which most of us have got those now, the energy saving is very low, and the light bulbs last tens of thousands of hours. So it's much harder now where we've got energy efficient lights. But I just think the principle, unless there's a good safety reason for leaving the light on, that you're going to fall down the stairs, I generally would say if you don't need it on, turn it off. And it's not so much the money, because the money is in refrigeration and hot water and heating. The other things don't really use much. But as a nation, if we could all just turn off a light that we weren't needing, or a computer or whatever, the amount of energy saved collectively would be a massive amount. So from an environmental point of view, if you're not using something and you're going to go out the room for allegedly 5 minutes.
Go on, if it is 5 minutes in. You mentioned an hour, but if it is 5 minutes,
I would say at your age, it's probably a good idea for you to leave, because we don't want you falling downstairs or seriously injuring yourself, do we? But no, seriously, I think that advice was, you know, 30 years ago when we were using energy inefficient light bulbs, they cost a lot. You had a 100 watt bulb going. So if you had 10 of them going in your house in every room, you're talking 1,000 watts. You're talking about a kilowatt of energy. You know, it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But when they're like 1 watt now, the LEDs, then yeah, it's very little. But I mean, I'm sure she'll find other things to tell you off about as well, you know.
Yeah.
So it won't be the only thing that'll be it.
I'm going to go back and I'll say, Ray says, if it's up to 5 minutes, it's fine.
Yeah, it's 5 minutes.
Okay, if it's 5 minutes.
It's an Ian Mack 5 minutes, is it? Or is it an Isle of Wight 5 minutes, or a general five minutes?
No, it's my 5 minutes. It is 5 minutes.
It is actually a real 5 minutes.
Because we obviously, you know, whenever I go in for a shower now, I always think of you, Ray.
Well, why wouldn't you?
4 minutes. I've got four minutes. If it's any longer than 4 minutes, have
that's
a bath.
That's not a good chat-up line, but you know, stick with it.
What about, because this is an additional thing, this has just crept up, although it's been around for a few years. Mm. What about these smart bulbs?
What, the ones that only come on when you walk in the room? Those ones? There's a lot of different ones.
There's all sorts of things that you can sort of speak to and say, turn the lights on and so on and so forth.
Oh, smart devices, yeah.
These bulbs. Yeah. There's smart bulbs.
They are gadgets, aren't they? Let's be honest, that most of us are able to turn on and off lights, but there are people who have disabilities who cannot, you know, use. And some of this technology is actually very beneficial, where you can just clap your hands and the lights come on and off, or you can push a little button or whatever. I don't really think that most of these things save any energy. I think in the main, most of us are quite good at remembering to turn stuff off.
But do they come under, you know, I'm guessing now all bulbs that you will purchase, they're all scrutinised, they're all screened, and they all have to be a certain standard.
Yes, if you buy them in the UK from a shop that's based in the UK, then you're probably fairly safe. So if you buy them in our local Hearst, for instance, or in any of the major supermarkets, they're going to be good. You buy stuff online, though, and I think we've all been caught by this, where we've bought maybe Christmas tree lights and other things, other than when they've arrived with round pin plugs and all kinds of other stuff. And I would say the same with light bulbs and electrical appliances. Buy them from a company you recognise that's okay. Based in the UK. If you don't know who they are and they're on eBay or a similar site, just check that it's up to British European standards and go with makes you've heard of. We all know the main makes of bulbs. They're the same ones that have been around since year dot. Go with those because we know they're up to the European standard.
Okay. Look, you're out and about this week.
We are. We've already been out and about. We've been to two children's centres yesterday and saw all the lovely mums and dads there. And today some of my colleagues have been at West White Sports Centre seeing people there. So we've been hitting the road, yeah, out and about.
Excellent. So, you know, whereabouts are you now?
Well, the final one this week, and it's the one we're doing in Newport, is at the Church on the Roundabout, very popular place. We're going there to the Food Bank Cafe this Friday, and we'll be there from 10 o'clock in the morning till 12 noon to see people. When they come along and see us, we'll buy them a cup of tea and have a chat. And that's a really lovely place for those people who haven't been into the Food Bank Cafe at the Church on the Roundabout, just on Coppins Bridge there. Really good place, and that's why we've gone there. We try and go where people are any, and of course for those people who can't get to that, they give us a ring and they can also email us and they can cut us.
Brilliant. I've daubed something on the outside. There was a thing called Jesus Saves from years ago, and I climbed up and put, but Keegan puts in the rebound many years ago, but never actually been in. I'm just thinking, what a great place to do an outside broadcast. The next time you do an event like that, can we come along and do an outside broadcast?
Yeah, I just think that would be absolutely brilliant because it really is a church at the heart of the community, I feel. They've always got stuff on there. They're not preachy. They open their church up to everybody, very similar to the Congregational Church in Newport as well that does all the work with the homeless people. Mm. And everybody, we've certainly used their church for different activities and the food bank's there, so we said, can we pop along as well, talk to the people who are going to the food bank, but happy to talk to anyone else who pops along. But there's a lot of people obviously don't like to go to events, and we're quite happy for you just to give us a call and have a chat, and we can talk about your energy bills, we can talk about getting the best deal, we can hopefully save you some money.
Great, that'll be a booking. Next time you go there to do an event, we want to come along with you and do an outside broadcast. Yeah. I'm just thinking, how difficult is it to get to that place? Because you've got to really want to get there, haven't you?
You basically, it's basically walk to. I don't think there's any parking nearby. No. But if you live in Newport, it's in walking distance, so it's right on the roundabout there, and you can just walk in, a short walk from town, and come in and see us, and say if it's not for you or you're busy this Friday, then give us a call and we'll have a chat on the phone instead.
Okay, but there's lots of things you can do even after this event that people can get in touch with you.
That's right. I mean, in a sense, these national weeks are quite good because there's national advertising and it focuses the mind. But you know, we always say every week is energy saving week. You know, this is a particular initiative at the moment to encourage people to switch. And there's also something else which might be a bit late for some people, but worth a call. If you are in receipt of benefits, so working tax, child tax, universal credit, all the different benefits, I'm not going to list them all because there's so many, but have a chat with your energy company and ask about this, and it's the Warm Home Discount. We mentioned this a month or so ago when I was in, but it's worth mentioning again. The Warm Home Discount is £140 off your electric bill from your energy company if you're in receipt of certain means-tested benefits. And the way to find out, get your bill, ring them up and say, can I get the Warm Home Discount? They might say yes, they might say no, but there could be £140 there for you.
Okay, so what was that again? Who have we got a phone?
They've got to ring your electricity company. So whoever you're with, and you all know because you've got it on your bank statement and you've got the bill in your hand, or you can go onto your app, give them a call and ask about the Warm Home Discount. Sometimes you can find the form online or you can find a page on your website for your energy company. Every year many tens of thousands of people don't apply for this. It's not exactly shouted about, but no. Warm home discounts, 140 quid off your electric bill for some people. So don't ring me, but just ring your energy company immediately.
Okay.
And do it today, because some of them are closing literally in the next week or so.
Do we have any local energy companies that, you know, I mean, say, look at our broadband, things have changed over the years. Yeah. We've got local companies that are doing that. Are there any local energy companies
there is a community owned solar farm on the island, and that sells electricity into the grid. And in different parts of the country, they do have a local energy selling company, if you like, but they're no cheaper than if you went anywhere else, and you're still buying the same electricity, as the point you made earlier. So we wouldn't particularly be in favour of that, because it wouldn't save people any money, and it might not even make any money for itself. So really, there's a massive market out there of 60 plus energy companies. Go on Uswitch, find the best one for you, but don't do it until you found out about the warm home discount. Get that 140 quid in your bank first, and then switch on April Fool's Day. That's what we recommend, because warm home discount's got to be paid by the 31st of March. So once you've got the money in the bank, then look at switching, maybe, and maybe save yourself some money.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's the whole point here. It's all about saving money and saving yourself a load of hassle as well, because let's be honest. If you are, you know, if you're of a certain age and you kind of, or even if you're not, it is a quite a complicated thing to have all of this stuff and think, when I get a bill, I think, I ain't got a clue what that says. Mm. How much do I owe? That's all I want to know, is how much am I paying? Because you start reading all this stuff and you think, I just don't get it. I'm fairly switched on. Mm. My wife won't get it either. You just imagine what that looks like for some people that are partially sighted and they don't do any of this technical stuff.
No.
And you think, oh, what's it like? That must be so complicated for a number of people.
Well, that's right. And I mean, also, there's a lot of people who are partially sighted and are older who have taken it all on. You know, I've certainly got a relative, one of my uncles, who is very elderly now. He's on WhatsApp, and he talks to me on WhatsApp. Now, he's virtually blind, but he can see WhatsApp.
Brilliant.
And that's the thing. If you... him and my mum are quite different. I can say this because my mum lives in London, so she doesn't know what I say about her. But I've got elderly relatives who are very tacky, and others who won't even have a washing machine. So, yeah, and everyone's different. And I think what we've got to try and do, we've got to try and help everybody. And, you know, you don't have to pay by direct debit. You can pay cash if you want to. But just make certain that you're at least on the best deal that is available. Give yourself a bit of extra cash, and hopefully, you know, keep out of debt and keep yourself warm and well, which is what it's all about.
Brilliant. Right, thanks very much for coming in. And just before you go, just details on the website if people need to get hold of you.
If they want to get hold of us, you can just put Footprint Trust into Google. You'll find our website there. You put Footprint Trust into Facebook and other social media, you'll find us there as well. Or you can do the old fashioned thing and give us a call. Nice easy number to remember, 82 22 82.
You sounded like a bingo caller then.
I do. I think I may have won, but we just love that number, 82 22 82. You can remember it, you can give us a call, we'll have a chat, we'll come round and see you, hopefully save you some money.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ray, for coming in.
Thank you.